Did I do that?
Welcome to TV or GTFO. I am Sachin Hingu.
And I am Gary Heather, and we are back to our regular format where we talk about the first that we view and chat about the first episode, the series premiere, and then the series finale of a show that I remember not being great. And that's confirmed. That memory is confirmed. It is not a great show.
Yes. This is not a great show. Parts of it are better than some of the usual TGIF fare. This is a TGIF show also that was kind of like sandwiched between, I believe, Full House and Step by Step.
It was,
Fridays at 8:30. It's like a kind of a batshit kind of concept that is like the last thing, I guess, that Jim Henson ever did, right? Before he died?
It was. It was right before he... Yeah, I think it didn't... He passed away. He died, and then it aired, I think. You know what I mean? It was fully developed.
Yeah, I think within months, right?
Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, like maybe three or four months, something like that. I'm not sure. But so Jim Henson, famous for like Sesame Street, The Muppets, and all this stuff, decided to do, or he had this concept for a TV series that was like an average, like really super standard sitcom, except all the characters are dinosaurs and it's in a prehistoric world. So that's where we're going today for dinosaurs.
And speaking of, you made mention of the lineup that it was a part of, like the Step by Step, the sort of TGIF lineup. I found that this to me was nothing like any of those shows. Like, not only in the fact that they were dinosaurs, aside from that, I would accept that. Or they, you know, obviously the dinosaurs, if you haven't seen the show, the dinosaurs are Muppets, large human, like human size.
Full body suits. Yeah. Like,
Yeah, but it's nothing. And in fact, the only thing I really remember about the show was that it did sort of like address some heavier topics than those other shows did. Step by Step did at the time. And I've got a list of topics, but I'll save that till halfway through the show because the list is ridiculous. And
it's crazy. Like the one episode I remember of the show deals with like kind of a heavy issue, but we can talk about that later. It's really heavy. Even the two episodes that we watched are they get into some heavy stuff.
Yeah, it's unusual for what you would expect from a lighthearted sort of lineup like TGIF, right? You know, and certainly from Jim Henson. Like, I don't think any other, certainly not like any Muppets or Fraggle Rock or anything like that dealt with.
Is Labyrinth
like
is him?
What's that?
Labyrinth is him, right?
That's like true.
But I mean, even that isn't like, it's not quite as heavy handed, especially as you're going to get in the finale here, but like even throughout, like they, like they're good themes. I can kind of applaud them for trying to deal with this kind of stuff. Like, it kind of gets into stuff that even like Fresh Prince and shows like that kind of got into, but it's just fucked up when they're dinosaurs.
And the show overall, I feel, is just, even without the heavy hitting topics, it's not a fantastically written show. It's not funny. It's like they're making jokes, and I think they feel like, no, people, don't worry about these jokes being lame. People will laugh because they're dinosaurs, and it's weird.
Exactly, yeah. I do think they lean on that pretty heavily, and it also is kind of weird, like, unlike a lot of those, or pretty much all of those TGIF shows, there's no laugh track here, or audience, or anything like that. Obviously, this was shot on, like, a closed set, so, like, the jokes are, like, they're just met with silence, right? Like, you're supposed to be laughing, I suppose. But it's just weird to watch when it's not there. Because it's written like a sitcom, right? Like, it's like joke, space, you know, and then, nothing happens.
The space is silence, basically. All right, so let's kick it off, man. This show had 4 seasons, 65 episodes. And I think it started airing in, what was it,
91,
that's right. Yeah, 91, yeah, to
91 to 94.
Yeah.
It was at, like we said, 8:30 on Fridays.
Yep.
Actually, it was between Family Matters and Full House which is kind of weird because this Family Matters in particular, because like this show, it's almost like the same pattern as Family Matters, except, yeah, you know, instead of, you know, black people, it's dinosaurs.
Right, right, right.
That was their concept.
They were so sick of the stereotypical white family of yeah, like Full House, whatever. And they were yeah, like, no, no, we need Family Matters and we need something else. What's it going to be? Is it yeah, going to be aliens? Is it going to be a dinosaur? I don't know, man. Yeah. I mean, it was dinosaur. I remember and, the baby. I remember the baby being, even before yeah, watching this, annoying as hell. Like, I remember that.
The baby was fucking annoying, and they monetized the shit out of this baby. Like, yeah, there were dolls. Like, there
really?
Were, you know, like, all sorts of stuff. There were, yeah, there was, like a quote-unquote life-size doll that was, like, the size of, like, a cabbage, like, a big Cabbage Patch doll or something that would talk. It would say all these, like, stupid phrases that you want to, like, I don't know how you wouldn't, like, throw that thing out the window. But, yeah, it was, like, I remember that being popular for probably, I guess, later in the run. They monetized the shit out of that baby. Like, it was on T-shirts. It was on, yeah, like, all this merch.
Oh, wow. I don't remember that at all. Yeah. I'm thankful I don't remember that. That does sound like a nightmare. Yeah. I mean, it's great because they can, because it's really, like, it's a puppet. It's a Muppet already, right? So you just take it yeah, off the set and throw it onto a shelf.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so you exactly, start with the baby. I think the first scene is with the baby and his dad. You know.
Yeah. So this is kind of like a framing story where yeah, the dad Earl is telling the baby the story of his life, kind of, or how he was born, basically.
Yeah.
And
yeah, he asks for his first story. Yeah. He goes back. Annoying. He goes back in time even further than when the baby was born. Now,
yeah, like just before that. I think it's like a couple days, maybe, right?
Yeah.
Because
is it? No. I mean, what I mean
before
is
before the baby's born.
He's talking to the baby, and the baby's like, "Tell me." He wants a story, and he's like, he sort of explains how dinosaurs used to roam in the wild.
So,
as that's we know, true, dinosaurs obviously, they only roamed in the wild and never got married and had children, you know, like families in homes.
Yeah, as far as we know,
as
yeah,
as far as we know. So he goes back, he's like, oh, dinosaurs used to roam in the wild. And then yeah, one day they decided to come out of the woods and get married.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, very unclear how this kind of came to be, but
there's a big stat missing. There's a whole yeah,
stat yeah, missing. Yeah, it's like scene missing. Like, that's the whole show, really, could be that.
Yeah, seriously. But it's not. It is not at all. It's yeah, basically it's like the episode of this. This is like the episode of The Simpsons where Homer is explaining to the kids how Maggie was born. Like, the right, life
yeah, exactly
Maggie,
like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's terrible.
Maybe this is a sitcom trope. Like, I don't know if I can't really think of any others that are like that, but where, like, a dad explains to the young kid, like, how they were born or something like that. Maybe Full House did that with Michelle.
That could have happened. We wouldn't know. We, yeah, we didn't see the...
we wouldn't know. We definitely never saw it. But, yeah. I mean, I feel like that's a thing that is done on sitcoms sometimes. But this is like the framing story for what we're going to see in this first episode.
I'll buy yeah, that. Yeah. Yeah. I'll buy that for me. That's...
And it's the year... What is it? 60 million in 3 BC?
Yeah,
something like that.
Like, yeah, there's a kid. There are two kids before we get. There are two like older kids, right, like a boy and a girl, teenage dinosaurs, whatever. And it's the boy mm-hmm, dinosaur. It's the teenage guy that makes a joke yeah, about like
Robbie.
Why aren't the years going forward? Why are they going backwards? Yeah. Like, what are we working?
Yeah,
towards?
What are we cutting down to? And then yeah, it's like oddly, oddly dark from that to that point. But it's so our main characters are Earl, the father. So he's a megalosaurus.
Yep.
That he's like this huge, fat kind of like typical sitcom dad kind of thing, in the vein of like, yeah, Carl Winslow, or oh, yeah, like even going back to like Archie Bunker. Like, this guy's kind of or even like Peter Griffin or Homer. Like yeah, they're kind of like these big fat guys that are like pretty ignorant.
Yeah, and the whole thing is yeah, in the story he's telling his baby at the time of yeah, the story, he's basically saying, he's like, I get the paycheck, I do all the work and I get the paycheck, but I don't get to use any of the money for what I yeah, want, like a big screen TV, yeah, and it's like
yeah,
it's just so basic. It's like a terrible Saturday Night Live sketch from the 80s, except it's not. Except it goes on for a whole episode, and then
exactly, yeah, episodes. Four seasons apparently it goes on for.
Apparently, I don't know.
Yeah,
and it's just like that. It's only supposed to be funny because it's strange. It's like a weird context. It's just like, oh, we're dinosaurs, so it's supposed to be funny. Yeah, you're supposed to laugh.
Yeah, it seems like they're like outside of a few. Like it seems like they're just nakedly lifting character traits and plot lines off other series.
Yeah,
but
but then you know what? The teenage boy comes in. As the dad is complaining, and I think he makes like the mom's in there as well, and then she makes a sex joke about like dating a T-Rex in college.
Oh yeah, yeah. No. So what happens is so Robbie comes in and he's talking about having trouble in school. Mm-hmm. He has his report card, and the report card saying that he's not applying himself, and he goes like. I have no potential. I'm not going to do anything. And Earl and Fran is the mom, discuss like getting a teacher or a tutor for him. And he's like, oh, can I get this girl in class? I could learn from her or something like that.
Then I think then there's a line shortly after that where the mom is talking to the husband. I forget what it was, and she's like,
so he's like, he's complaining to her or something, like he's being like a real dick about dinner, right? Like he's he wants dinner as soon as he walks in the house, like typical like Archie Bunker offensive dad kind of stuff. Why is dinner not on the table? And she wants this set of pots that have screens on top so that the dinner that they eat live, like you see these like little puppets running around, don't escape because they're dinner, like this happens on a regular basis.
And that's a plot device that comes about, comes around later. It's an important point.
And so he's like, I'm the Megalosaurus, I'm the king of the dinosaurs. And she goes, no, I think the king of the dinosaurs is the T-Rex. And he's like, oh, how do you know that? And she goes, oh, I dated one in high school, because she's talking about how the T-Rex has a much bigger hog.
Yeah.
I think that's what's being implied. It's like... Oh, before that, we're introduced to the daughter, Charlene.
Right.
Who's like a teen girl wearing a sweater and jewelry. Yeah. I don't know. She's asking him for money. She's voiced by Sally Struthers, weirdly enough.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
And the mom is actually Jessica Walter of like Archer and... Arrested Development fame.
I did know that. I read that somewhere, and it's funny because like she doesn't sound like she does in Archer. I mean, obviously it's like 30 years.
No, I mean this is like a decade,
you can sort of hear the voice, but this is where they got their start. I doubt.
Yeah, and the baby is Kevin Clash, who's done like endless amounts of voice work. Probably best known for being the voice of Elmo. And I really think that if you were to play these characters side by side, it's the exact voice. It's like Elmo's voice, isn't it? The baby's voice?
It kind of is. Well, let's take a look. You know what? Let's take a quick listen to the baby voice and let the listener decide. Okay, one sec. Here it is.
Yeah.
What happened next?
I went to work.
Why?
Because your mother makes me.
Am I at work?
No.
Am I at work?
No.
Am I at work?
Yes.
Yeah, I can kind of hear actually.
You just want to reach through the speaker and strangle him.
Exactly, like real Elmo,
Yeah.
So
just like Elmo. Yeah.
So they kind of just have this argument about where the money's going to go, and that's the conflict for the story. And then it's the next day, and the dad's
at work. He wants to buy the big screen TV.
Yeah.
There's the tutoring, and Fran wants these pots and pans. So basically, Earl is never allowed to spend his money as he says.
As he was complaining. Yeah. So he's at work the next day, and he works at like what I thought was like a Flintstone style quarry, like. But really, I think
sort of like that. Yeah,
he knocks down trees or something like that.
He does. He knocks down trees for like the one. There's like one big corporation called We Say So, they like kind of like clear land for factories and things like that. Like they make reference to this over and over again, but they this is like the big evil corporation that he works for, and he just pushes down trees. It's basically like Fred Flintstone kind of thing.
So he's talking to his coworker there at We Say So, and he's talking to him about the fact that he needs more money. So, of course, the coworker. Mm-hmm. I have seen this. I swear I've seen this storyline of the Flintstones and everywhere else before.
Sure, yeah. I mean, like, this is a regular thing on the Jetsons and shit like that. Like, this,
like, go and ask, like, for a raise. So it's all you need. Standard. Whatever, yeah. Do it. Just ask the boss. And then you're thinking, okay, wait, is this boss going to be a dickhead? Yes, the boss is going to be a dickhead.
Yeah, and who is it? It's like, he was kind of the high point of the show for me. Oh, yeah. It's Sherman Helmsley, who I'm always happy to hear.
That's right. He's in this one, and somehow, a quick spoiler, he makes it to the last episode as well.
Yeah, he's a regular character here, I guess. In as much as, like, he's, I guess, the antagonist of the show, right? He's the evil boss from every sitcom that you know.
He's got a great voice for it, that's for sure, too.
He does, yeah. Kudos to the for picking him, yeah.
What's the dad's name? Carl?
Earl.
All right, so Earl goes into his boss's office.
Asking for a raise.
Yeah, he wants a raise, but it's a really weird interchange, a really weird conversation. Like, he asks for a raise, and then the boss, then Sherman Helmsley accuses him of giving him an ultimatum or something like that, like...
He, like, does this weird word jujitsu and kind of Earl somehow ends up being fired. Yeah. I don't really, but it's not, like, in a direct way. It's like, or he ends up, like, tricking him into quitting somehow. Yeah. Or, it's like a really kind of strange exchange. And it's, like, jarring to see Earl like that when he's such, like, a dick elsewhere that he's so, like... deferent to the boss.
I was confused. I think I pride myself on being able to follow a simple conversation, but the guy was just like, what? Are you giving me an ultimatum? What? Oh, so you're saying you resign? Oh, okay. Yeah. Get out of my fucking office.
What? You have to keep in mind that this is all being delivered by Sherman Helmsley as a triceratops sitting at a desk. Like, I think if you're not familiar with the show, like, it's hard to follow some of this stuff because there's so much shit going on all over the place.
Yeah, because as expressive as a Muppet or a puppet can be, they obviously aren't going to be as, you know, nuanced as, say, a human being. So really, there's no nuance. It's just these faces. Either his eyebrows go inwards to look angry, or outwards to look surprised. Do you know what I mean? That's it. Like,
yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah, like, in his mouth moves, but there's your average Muppet can't. He doesn't have a range of emotions.
There's no emote. There's no emote feature on these dinosaurs. So, so he quit, or he's done. He manipulates him into quitting. And then he's back at the house, right? He goes back to the house. The mom is trying to get the dad. Is trying to get the dad. Well, you better ask about my day.
Yeah, and he's being like even more of a dick than usual. Like, he goes like, I don't give a damn about your day. Nothing that happens in your little day has any impact on the rest of my life. Like, what? This guy's a dick.
Like, clearly she's got something important to tell you, but no, he eventually asks, and of course. That's when she shows her the egg that she hatched, supposedly during that day. Like,
It's just a massive egg that they. I don't know anything about dinosaurs. It's
my extent of knowledge is Jurassic Park and Jurassic Park 2.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I guess nature finds a way.
Nature does find a way. Just in the living room of this person, the woman.
Considering, and I don't think we've talked about this, but all of these dinosaurs in the same family, except for maybe the Earl and the baby, are different species of dinosaurs.
Yes.
And I don't know how that happens. Like,
the
two kids are completely different dinosaurs from either of the parents or each other.
Yeah, they just kind of gloss over it. Maybe they address that later in the middle of the series. And given the heavy topics that they do, that I read their address, maybe they did.
Like, adultery and I don't know.
So he's freaking out. So Earl is... I'm going to call him Carl. Carl is freaking out, and he's like, oh, maybe the egg is empty, and, like, we've had a few of those, and I'm like, that's a little strange. They would sort of allude to, like, that sort of heavy issue, like, maybe it's a stillborn egg or whatever, and so he holds the egg up to the light, and sure enough, it's the baby, like, I don't know, giving the finger or something like that inside the egg.
The silhouette of the baby,
It's
kind of like a flippant way, again, not knowing anything about dinosaurs and stuff and how frequently they might, like, have what they call a dud. They're just joking around with it. Like, he's like, doesn't he say that they had three duds before Charlene? And Fran goes, oh no, you had two duds and Robbie. I don't know. It's kind of a serious thing to be joking about.
It's the type of jokes and types of potentially serious sort of issues that you kind of like, just like, what did, were they just trying to like address something? I have no idea.
I don't know.
So yeah. Anyway, so it's the, sure enough, it's the annoying baby in the egg that they see.
And we go to present day, and the baby is like, oh, I'm finally in the story, and bites Earl. I think I'm gonna bite you now was one of the baby's catchphrases, so you gotta get that in there.
Like a Calabunga type line? Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So then, yeah.
Yeah, it was like, gotta love me, and I don't know, you'll probably hear them all in any footage you see of the baby, because this is all it was. It was like a catchphrase machine. Because
I don't remember them at all. I remember he was annoying, but he freaked out and he just like literally abandons it, leaves his home.
Yeah, and walks out, goes walking into the woods.
Yeah, and in the woods, he's like, he's trying to rediscover what the old, I guess the old lives, the older dinosaurs are, the, I guess the ancestors of them were living, and he lies down on the ground to try to get some sleep and isn't comfortable. He's trying to rediscover his sort of ancestry, his heritage, dinosaur heritage, I suppose.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. He's just kind of wandering around the forest, it looks like. And, he comes across, what is this supposed to be? Is it supposed to be a lizard?
I thought it was some sort of large mutated rat that he comes across.
It has fur, but I could have sworn he refers to it as the lizard. And it's possible that that is the same dinner that escaped at the beginning of the show.
I think it was, yeah.
It might have been.
Yeah, he runs in. So he runs into the rodent that escapes at the beginning of the show, just as that rodent's about to be cooked for dinner. And he's like, oh, I'm hungry. I got to eat you. But, you know, the rodent thing sort of convinces him that he's super powerful and commands a lot of respect. And the rodent thing is, you know, is nothing or whatever. And
the rodent reveals that Earl, like, pushed over the tree that was his home, and his family all left, possibly died, or they're gone.
Yeah.
And he's like, you should appreciate your family. Because his logic is that family is great because you are the boss there. You could basically treat them like slaves.
Yes.
And this is the message that he takes away.
The message, actually. I was like, oh, wow. But you know what? For what it was, it worked on him because, he ended up...
Yeah, I suppose.
It appealed to his sensibilities, I guess.
Right.
Well, he was going to eat, as I said, he was going to eat the rodent, but then, oh, no, I can't do it anymore. No. I'm not going to eat you. No. And he lets him go. Right,
like, he lets him go.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, like a casserole or something, like dish,
something, some kind of food,
appears on a string in front of him.
And Fran has come to the woods to lure him back with food, with dinner.
How did she find him?
I have no idea.
He's in the middle of the woods.
It doesn't really seem like the woods are all that big.
No,
but,
I guess not.
Yeah.
Maybe she knew.
I'm just wondering why Fran needed to apologize or anything here for anything that she's done.
She did not need to apologize at all.
No.
He's an asshole.
A dick. Yeah.
And then, so she goes home, they make up, they kiss, and then it's the next day at work, and in some sort of ironic twist, the rodent that he let it go is now Sherman Helmsley's assistant.
Yeah. I don't know how that happened. Like, isn't it established? Isn't there an established food chain here that that these creatures are food for the dinosaurs? But here he is as Earl's new boss, I guess, or assistant to his boss. So he rehires Earl and gives him that raise. So
he convinces him to get his job, the boss to give Earl his job back, and he gets what they refer to as an imperceptible raise, like it's just a small amount of money. And it's almost like if you had a boss and the boss hired like a chicken to be to be your boss.
Yeah, exactly. Like an actual chicken or like a pig or something like that.
Yeah,
or something that you would eat.
Exactly. Generally, what's considered food, and to us, nope. He's now your boss. You're gonna take orders from this chicken.
Yeah, he's your boss. Yeah.
This whole, and that's, the dad calls in his two kids, he's back at home, calls in his two kids. He's like, oh, as long as he's got family, life is worth it. Womp womp.
Yeah. And it's all, but his actual line is, no matter how low you are in the world, if you have a family to come home to, they're lower.
Yeah, exactly. You're right, I shouldn't have.
He's really learned nothing here, I don't think. Except, yeah.
Oh, man. And that is episode one, uninspired...
Well, the egg hatches, of course, and the baby comes out.
Oh, right.
We're giving you every catchphrase that the baby has, I think, and... So they cut back to the present day, and Earl is sitting with the baby and saying, "Oh, dinosaurs rule the world, and we're always going to," which is kind of bleak when you like bleak, weird foreshadowing. And they look outside, and you see these were like regulars of the show, like these two incompetent human characters that look feral outside of the house,
like cavemen, and, basically.
Like,
yeah,
like cavemen. And they're, like, trying to invent the wheel, and they end up using it as a hula hoop or something. Just, you know, kind of a joke that, like, oh, humans will never take over or something. But, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the bleak joke that ends this episode.
And you know what? If this is the bleak end to this episode...
Oh, yeah. Like, just wait.
Just wait to the last one. So let's... Yeah, you know what? In my opinion, this episode, forgettable. Totally was like, meh.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it introduced the concept. I guess it did what a pilot is supposed to do. But I think this wasn't a case where it was a pilot where they were testing it, because I think they had filmed all 13. Like, they bought, ABC, I guess, bought 13 episodes, and they filmed them all. So they were, and I mean, they put it in a spot where they wanted it to succeed, right? Like, they must have put some budget behind it, and they put it, you know, between... You know, like, TGIF was their big popular block of shows, and they put it right at 8:30, so...
Yeah, I guess when you're a guy like Jim Henson, you can pretty much get away with whatever, and they're just going to be like, here's a truckload of money, do whatever the hell you want, dude, like, you will make us money, and that's what they did. So, getting right into it, this is the list of some of the topical issues that dinosaurs addressed in the last 65 episodes. Here we go. Women's rights, sexual harassment, LGBT rights, censorship, civil rights, body image issues, racism, drug abuse, rights of indigenous peoples, corporate crime, pacifism, steroid use, and there was even an episode that alluded heavily to masturbation. Oh, and also there's one episode where the son becomes a vegetarian and the family likens that to communism and drug abuse.
Right. Yeah. I think I remember it. But like you mentioned, the steroid episode, for some reason, that is the one episode that sticks in my mind of this whole show. Because like Robbie starts taking these steroids. I think this is the first time I'd ever heard about steroids or what they were. Like, I didn't know. I had no idea what they were.
Right, right. Why would you? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he gets switched out for another dinosaur model that's like super muscular, and he's getting all like aggressive and angry, and it's like a weird moment for the show.
I do not remember that,
but like they really went into some heavy stuff, and this is probably the heaviest of all. This finale here.
Yeah, which makes sense that this would be the series finale.
Look, there's literally nowhere you can go from here. Like, spoiler alert, there's nowhere to go from here.
No, it's fine. I don't mind. I forgot to mention there were also multiple religious-themed episodes as well.
Like, I think there was one where the grandmother, who's a new character newish character that they introduce here, joins a cult or something that... I remember an episode like that. Like, almost anything you can think of, this show kind of touched on. And it's in four seasons, I guess that's pretty admirable.
It's a lot. It's a lot to get to. I mean, obviously, I only read the list, and I don't know how expertly or delicately or effectively they addressed any of those particular issues. But I guess kudos to even...
To try.
To them for even trying to.
I don't know. Like, I wonder if that was like a mandate from Jim Henson. It's like, okay, you can do your dinosaur puppet show, but it has to actually like have a message or something. But this one certainly does, I guess. Like, it ends up being kind of heavy-handed, but...
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, no, this is the heaviest of hands.
Yeah, I guess there's no kind of about it.
Let's just get right into it. I mean, we start... Yeah. It's funny, the first episode we didn't mention started off with a news report. Like, it's DNN, presumably Dinosaur News Network news report on television. Yeah. And this news report is talking about beetles like a swarm of beetles that are supposed to be coming from the sky, and they come every, what is it, year or something like that?
Yeah, it's an annual thing.
Yeah.
These beetles migrate, and I guess it's sort of like the Aurora Borealis or something. Like, it's like a beautiful kind of like light show. I guess the beetles light up, I don't know. But it's an annual thing. It's sort of like the 4th of July, I suppose, because they're like barbecuing and stuff, like all outside, like to watch it.
Yeah, he blows up the grill. Earl blows up the grill.
Yeah, we have typical sitcom joke, like fucking like fat dad can't reuse the grill.
So then the Beatles, they fail to show up, and everyone is all like, what? Where are the Beatles?
The whole point of being, I guess, excited for the Beatles is that the Beatles eat these... cider poppies. They're like these flowers that grow in a vine. They eat these poppies and keep them from kind of like overrunning the landscape kind of thing.
Yes.
So if the beetles aren't there, then they kind of the poppies kind of like take over and grow like vines all over everything.
Like Little Shop of Horrors style. Like they creep quickly and like
look evil, like basically. That. Yeah.
And then it's before the show kicks off, it's the intro. Did you notice in the extra shots? So we always talk about the intro, and I noticed that the first half of the intro is the same. Earl sort of lumbering darkly through the jungle, and then and then it's like a montage with upbeat music of scenes from the show. And
it's like really typical kind of like sitcom, like kind of music. But it shows like a bunch of scenes from throughout the series. And like every time we do this, it's filled with stuff that is unrecognizable from the first episode.
Lots of baby shots. I saw a shot of the baby getting electrocuted by what seemed to be a meteorite.
Yeah, some of the setups here. I don't know.
It's fucked up. It happens so quickly. Only a few scenes jump out at you, and that one particularly just jumped out at me. Anyway, so into the show. One of the Beatles does eventually show up. It's one of the bunch of Beatles. I forget the Beatles, that one's name.
Stan, I think it was.
There you go.
Shows up, and he's like a character on the show. Basically,
he starts to hit on the daughter like immediately.
Yeah, it's creepy, and it's like all the way through. Like, what do you think is going to happen here? It's like even she kind of points out, like, "I'm a reptile, and you're a beetle."
you're a beetle, dude. But then the two of them sort of like take it upon themselves, take the initiative to go and investigate as to why the beetles didn't show up. So they go to their sort of native. Their landing area, their breeding ground or whatever, and lo and behold, it's been covered over by a parking lot, by a factory.
A wax fruit factory that's owned by the same parent company that we say so company that Earl works for. So basically they've paved over the swamp where they mate, and and they've exterminated all the bugs. So there's your corporate industry.
They run into some guy at the factory. He's like, whatever, you're always going to need wax fruit, you know. And at this point in the episode, I was like, oh, wow, okay, this is going to be like a socially sensitive topic about not upsetting the ecosystem and valuing, you know, the nature and shit like that. And that's about it. And that's an important message, of course. But then, you know, of course, it's like that movie. What's that movie? Oh, shit, I should have looked it up. It's where there's like global warming in like a week.
Oh, was that like Day After Tomorrow?
Yeah, it's was like that.
Yeah, where the one with like Jake Gyllenhaal and it's like flooding and tsunamis and everything. Yeah, it's the it's like all these environmental catastrophes happening at once. And I kept expecting right up until the very last scene of this episode, I'm expecting for it to turn left and like one character to like heroically save the day, but that's not going to happen.
No, just this road. Like, I mean, I think we could just talk about this overall thing of like, so they, you know, the Beatles they can't land, so the Little Shop of Horror plants take over. And like so like you said, it's owned by this one large conglomerate, which the boss of which is Sherman Helmsley, who is still
still there. You only ever see him in the trailer office that he has, right? Like he's sitting at his desk, and he kind of seems to have a lot more power over the entire world than it appears in the first episode, because he's like calling and they're making decisions about spraying the entire planet with poison. To wipe out the plants. And I mean, I don't, it's
and that's where it goes. That's where it goes. He gets Earl, he sort of consults Earl, or he has Earl sort of implement his plan of basically, you know, poisoning the planet to get rid of all these plants. And then basically what he does in between, like, during the duration of a commercial break, end up destroying all vegetation on Earth. Like the barren wasteland.
Yeah, so they show the family kind of huddled together in the house, and they're spraying this like thick viscous chemical like all over everywhere, and then they show the outside and it's like Mad Max, like wasteland, complete wasteland.
They just accelerate. Like I can see issues with the plants and everything like that, but yeah, they obviously made the wrong choice spraying everywhere with poison, like viscous poison. And they're all in there, and so like at this point I was like, okay, is this how it's gonna end? Like no, they're gonna like turn this around. It's funny at every plot point from now until the end of the show, I was of the belief that no, you know what, they're gonna turn this around somehow.
Yeah.
It's bleak, but
this is a family show. This is showing, you know, between Family Matters and Full House. Like this is, you know, what are they really gonna do? Somebody's gonna, you know, save the day, and they'll get like a heart to heart talk, and that'll be it for dinosaurs. So what happens is now there's now the plants are everywhere. Now there's no plants anymore.
No vegetation. Yeah. So the brilliant idea, next idea, is to try and form clouds to cause rain to grow the plants again. But their plan to do that is stupid. It doesn't make any sense.
It's insane. So they're like, what makes clouds? And somehow they get, their first idea is volcanoes. Which I don't think is, I mean, again, I think we've established that neither of us are scientists I think even we know enough that, so what they had decided to do is to drop bombs into volcanoes to make clouds.
Because they see white puffy smoke come out of volcanoes occasionally to accelerate that process, they decide to, like you said, literally drop bombs into volcanoes to form those clouds. Yeah. And then the best shot, which you can't see.
What the fuck?
It's like a wide shot of the planet from outer space, of Earth. And it's basically like, it's like a 1960s nightmare, like where you know what I mean? It's like a nuclear war, like dozens of explosions worldwide.
All
like,
over the world, yeah. And I'm like, okay, so they've blown up the world. And I'm looking at the file while I'm watching the show. And I'm like, oh, there's minutes left of this show. Where else are we going?
Are they going to turn it around, Sachin? I'm still confident they're going to turn it around.
But no. But they're somehow still alive. This hasn't killed them.
No.
All these explosions on Earth, it hasn't killed them. They've covered the Earth in sulfur clouds, and it's blocked out the sun.
And dropping the planet into a deep freeze that will last, according to them, at least 10,000 years.
Right. Yeah.
So at this point, it's starting to get cold, and the dad calls his boss, calls Schoenhausen, and is like, I think we might have made a mistake. But then the boss is like, fuck off, we're making money from people purchasing heaters, so I'm going to have none of this. What? I mean, it's so, at this point, the dad apologizes to his family for bringing on the end of the world and civilization.
This scene is heart-wrenching. If you see how this ends, like, he's got his family huddled together explaining how they're all going to die together.
Yeah, in fact, most of the rest of my notes are in all caps. Like, how the fuck is this going to end? And the baby's like, what's going to happen to us? And nobody can really give an answer. And then, like, one of them does say, you know, well, we have each other. And what if they're referring to that as frozen corpses, I guess. But, like... so sad. It is. It's like, it's depressing.
The grandma's there. Everybody's there. This. I mean, I'm pretty sure this is the first episode of TV or GTFO where a baby dies, right?
Yes. Yes. I mean, most likely.
Yeah.
We've I don't think a baby people, like aliens.
Michelle almost died, I guess, in the finale of Full House with that concussion thing, but they never actually went through with it.
No, that's literally what happens. You know, it's sad, and I'm pretty jaded, so it didn't really bother me. But then I was thinking, like, I'm thinking early 90s, a 10-year-old or like an 8-year-old or a 12-year-old that's been watching this show religiously for four years straight.
He's sitting there, this kid is sitting there with the toy of the baby next to him, right? Oh that he's just gotten for Christmas. Yeah. and he watched this finale.
And all I picture in my head is a slow motion shot of the toy falling from this child's arm to the floor.
Falling from his arms as the child is like, no.
And that's it. I mean, there is one more scene where the broadcaster pops back up and it's silence, of course. And he's really like, oh, good night and goodbye. And the show
Even a joke. There's not even a joke there. No. You would think maybe, you know, end the series on, you know, some kind of like gag or, you know, the newscaster was kind of there to sort of punctuate it with like some comic relief or to explain what was going on. And you just, it's like good night and goodbye and credits.
And credits sad over music the exterior plays. Of the house, the frozen house.
Yeah, where they've all died inside.
Yeah.
Jim Henson?
It was a dark turn, man. It was the darkest turn of any show, certainly that I've ever seen. Let alone
certainly for a sitcom. Maybe there's like
any sitcom that I've seen.
Maybe The Sopranos comes closer. So, I don't know. Or like,
Oz. Even Dexter survived Dexter.
Dexter survived. They didn't kill his kid.
No, instead they murdered this whole family with baby. Like it's not.
Frozen to death. What a fucked up way to die. It's like
I don't know, man. It was.
I mean, like, yeah, you know they're dinosaurs, but I mean, you kind of don't expect it to go that way.
No, you don't. That's just it. Like, I was trying to wrap my head around why they sort of made that choice, and it's like, well, maybe the thinking was, okay, we've hit them with all this sort of serious like. Social issues and everything like that. Well, we've never really taken it all the way. So let's do it for the last episode.
Fuck it. It's the last episode.
This is what's going to happen to you and your family if you don't fucking take care of your planet.
Yeah.
It was bizarre, man. It was too much.
Yeah, that was messed up. Like we've seen some pretty like bizarre finales. Yeah. You know, the Cop Rock finale where they break the fourth wall, or even the Seinfeld finale where they bring everybody back and stuff. But the Out of This World finale. Like I thought that was dark, where she gets trapped on the planet by herself with no way to get home. But this is much worse.
It's horrible. It's horrible. It's sad. That wraps up the whole thing. But I think because it was such a horrible and dark finale, we got to end it on a light note, man. We got to take it out like with a song, maybe.
Yeah, I guess so. So this, like, I guess at the peak of the baby's popularity, which was, I guess, towards the end of the run of the show, where they had, like, merchandised the hell out of it, they had this song. And I think I remember seeing this song on TV, outside of the context of the show. They may have like, played it on MTV or here. They might have. I think they played it at least once or twice on Much Music. Like, it was a thing that they played. Like, it was a fad kind of thing, you know?
Okay, like, Do the Bartman.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a dinosaur's version of Do the Bartman, is what you're telling me, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, so here's what I propose. Let's take it out on the high note, and let's never talk about this show ever again.
Yeah, let's. I'd forgotten about it for 20-odd years, and let's put it back in the vault, never to be acknowledged again.
So thanks for joining us for a very, very dark and dismal a dark and dismal episode of TV or GTFO. I am Gary Heather.
And I am Sachin Hingu.
And let's go out on a positive note. We've set it up, man. What is it?
It's the baby. The baby's song. This is the baby at his absolute, absolute worst.
Enjoy.
I'm the baby, gotta love me. Big purple eyes. GTD or GTFO.